just in the everyday, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gonna have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky. He's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky. That's where you're gonna go when you die. When you die and you lay you to rest, you're gonna go to the place that's the best.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
And it's Joe Martech. Yes, I am here, and we were all dancing. Well, we weren't quite
song,
dancing.
We were trying to pretend.
We each were keeping a different rhythm. You know why we didn't? Why we are not in the music business?
Why?
Because we can't sing.
No
we
rhythm.
Can't carry a tune. We have no rhythm.
You got to speak for yourself on that one, Joe.
I've heard you sing. It's not a pretty picture.
Oh. And you haven't seen me dance or sing but at the same time.
But are you playing guitar still?
Yes, I am.
Are you past
45 years? I went back to
you. You started it 2 years ago now.
Yes, it's about 2 years.
I mean,
how did you remember that?
Hey, listen, I'm observant.
Do you know how long it takes to get proficient at an instrument?
A long time when you're starting over.
That's right.
When
a
you
long
have,
time.
Are you playing guitar?
You got to get the muscle
memory. I used to.
I
played a lot of instruments in my time, Joseph. I played guitar.
Yeah.
I'm fairly good on congas. I'm fairly good on a violin, believe it or not.
Really?
I played fiddle? I played a cornet. So, yeah.
Did you play a violin or fiddle?
I played a fiddle.
Played a cornet.
I played clarinet for a whole year, and my dad begged me to quit.
Well, I can see that. That's that cat sound when you first start.
Joe, when are you going to learn how to play that thing? I said, Dad, I am. He says, Well, that was end of. That
was he paying for lessons?
That's what happened. Whatever it was too much because after a year, I was still into the basics. I think
I don't know anybody who is not someone who wants to know how to learn to play music. Everybody I know would love to play. We just don't take the time.
Wouldn't you?
We don't put in the effort. My last go around is when we had the last house. I bought a nice white baby grand, and I picked out a lot of good songs on it. But when we moved to the new house, it wouldn't fit. And
did you have a player piano?
Oh no, I wouldn't do that.
Well, I had a client years ago. Doctor had a baby grand player, and I got to tell you, it was magnificent.
Oh, it is. It's a wonderful sound.
Beautiful. And I thought he was playing it. Well, so much for that. He'd sit there and look good.
Yeah, those rolls, they make them, every note for note.
1-888-221-8990. Okay, class, you're supposed to write that phone number down, keep it next to your phone, not in the car.
Not if you're driving.
Not if you're driving. Forget all the, I'm telling you. Otherwise, keep that number handy. And if you do forget it, you can go to WCNO.com. You can watch, listen. You can't watch because we don't watch, but you can listen to us, and their shows are archived, WCNO.com, and that'll give you the phone number anyway.
What was that number again?
1-888-221-8990. Normally, we got Alan Love, guest attorney here, keeping me in line with the phone number, but Dan's doing a pretty good job. You got to.
I've been keeping me in line for a long time.
I've got other numbers to tell you about. If anybody tells you they can predict the stock market, today is a perfect example of why you can't.
What it close at?
The consumer price index came out a little more than expected, and right. The Dow Jones Industrial Average right after the opening was down 150 points because of inflation fears. But by the end of the day, including a terrible incident that just happened in Parkland, Florida, a school shooting. The Dow was up 254 points.
Not a bad day.
And I would just like to take a minute just to pray for those people in Parkland. The people there, between 20 and 50 people are injured. That's the latest news. And we ask the Lord to watch over everybody and keep all those that are escaping safe.
You know, and the doctors and all the people that are
first responders, absolutely.
You
know, police and fire.
Enlighten those doctors to do the right procedures promptly.
You know, everybody listening to this show believes in prayer, and I've asked for prayers on two separate occasions now, and one I almost killed me was my son in terrible shape, and I know that the power of prayer works. I've seen it happen physically, but Pastor Dave, it is a good time if you would lead us in prayer. And those of you understand that this shooting down in Parkland, there's a whole bunch of kids that at the very least are injured and probably worse when it all shakes out. And this is another sign of our times. Very, very sad.
It is.
Could you lead us in?
You bet. Let us pray. Father God, we just come before you right now, and we claim your grace flowing for everyone there. We know that you're a compassionate God, and that you grieve for your children, and right now there's literally children who are injured. Some may have died or dying. Father, may the mantle of your Holy Spirit rest upon them. May you bring them not just peace and comfort, but restoration. Father, we pray not just for the victims, although they're a primary focus, but for everyone who's involved. We have parents, some of whom do not yet know what's going on with their children. We have teachers who are at a loss to address this issue and have no comfort. Father, we pray for the community that surrounds that school, for they must be up in arms. They must be grieving. They must all be in chaos. And in the midst of this very chaotic moment, for the rich outpouring of your grace to meet all the needs that are presented, for those who are injured for healing, for those that may have died, that you would take them into your arms. And for the first responders, Father, that they would be at the peak of their skill and dedication, that they would find the perpetrators and stop them. And all this we ask in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. 1-888-221-8990. So back in 2004, a fellow named Dan Warren, who has an independent insurance agent, who in Joe Martek's not too humble opinion is the premier insurance agent on the Treasure Coast, because he's only been running this for 38 or 40 years, but he's getting so old we can't remember.
I can't remember.
But it's been a long time. But we got a caller that's going to interrupt me praising you, Dan, which is a lucky thing.
Lucky for me.
This is Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Okay, Mr. Joe. I have a question for you, sir.
Go ahead.
I'm about to retire next month, and I have a 401k that has built up some equity into it. I'd like to know what is the best route to go. Should I withdraw it from my company that I'm leaving? Should I leave it there, or what would you suggest?
Let me give you suggestions and say what normally happens, and I can't give you a definitive answer.
Congratulator first, Joe.
Well, you're not
congratulations.
You put in all that time, and you're finally getting to leave. You got a whole month to go. This is going to be the longest month of your life.
I tell you, I can't wait.
Anyway, what happens is, you know, a 401k is a retirement plan sponsored by your employer, And normally what they do, they put money in and you put money in, and it's the greatest thing in the whole world. And then inside of it are investment options. And here's where, here's the only negative. Normally in a 401k, it has limited investment options. And sometimes they steer you in such a way that based on your age, you're going to go into certain options. Now, that's the only negative there is. Everything else is positive. Now, when you, quote, retire and you're no longer working there, you have the option normally of keeping it there. Sometimes no. Sometimes employers say you have to take it. And you have two ways to take it. One, you can take it in cash and you can pay all the tax at one time and you're in, yes, you'd be in terrible, terrible, not a good decision. Or you can roll it out and put it into what's called an IRA, an individual retirement account. And that account can go into anywhere of a dozen different places. Just as an example, you can go to your local bank and put it into the bank account and earn a whole 1%. You can go put it into a brokerage account with somebody like me. You can put it into an insured investment. You got lots of different ways to go. But normally what I do when I meet with somebody is we start looking at what your goal is, what you're trying to accomplish, and what's in your best interest. So we answer the questions, and you don't have to be in a hurry to do this, but you need to know your options.
Okay.
So what I would normally suggest is this. You left your name and number with Pastor Tom. I'll call you tomorrow or the next day, and we'll talk about it on the phone, and I'll give you some information, and it might be the wise thing to sit down and visit for an hour or so and go through options for you. So my goal is to educate everybody with this show, and if you've listened to us, you know that's our goal, and that's what we work at
definitely.
Doing.
Okay, great. They gave me an option. You know, they said I can leave it there, or I can take it or whatever. So, you know, they change hands as a hospital, so they change their facilities, and someone out of Kentucky bought the hospital chain, and they said we can do whatever we want to do. So the option right now is up to me what I want to do.
Well, if you keep it there, if they keep it there, will they charge you an administration fee?
No.
Good.
But I just will have to let them know what option I want them to do. Do I want them to invest for me, and how do I want them to do it, and, you know, the whole works.
Well, nothing new there. This is normal. But the key thing is this. You need to have enough information so you can make a good decision. So that's our goal here, is to give you information.
Okay.
So what we'll do is this. We'll give you a call, and you and I will beat this up a little bit and see what we can accomplish.
Sounds great. Thanks. Look forward to it.
Thank you so much. Hey, listen, what do you think about our intro on the show?
Oh, I like it.
That's what I was fishing for.
Oh, I know. I heard you last week.
Okay, good. Well, thank you so much.
Okay, great.
You have a wonderful day, and thank you for calling.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
You know, that's a... And I talked about this on the morning show, 401ks, literally the 401k rollover. And one of the things, and Vince, you and I see this, very often employers have these age bracketed investment choices. And they very often, every time I've seen one, people have had most of their money in that or all of it. And one of the biggest problems with these age related ones, when you're 60 or so or close to 65, they've got you heavily weighted in bonds.
Do you think that's for security reasons?
Well, that was the concept, is because bonds are supposed to be less volatile. Well, we all know with interest rates going up, bonds will go down. So when people see their statements and they come in and they'll say, wait a minute, I was making money like crazy a few years ago, now I'm losing money. It's because the value of the underlying investments are deteriorating because interest rates are going up. Now, those of you that makes no sense to, don't feel special, because interest rates go up and your value goes down, that just almost sounds stupid. But let's just give you an example. Vince Rizzino and Dan Warren decide to buy one bond for $1,000 that's paying 5% interest. Now, that'd be a good deal today if you could get it, but let's just say,
I'd buy that.
I'd buy that one right now. They don't pay that, but I'm using that as an example. Now, after a year goes by, Dan says, Joe, I don't like Vince anymore. I want you as a partner. Give me $500 or give it to
Vince.
Give Vince
the $500.
$500. So I say, okay, Vince, here's the $500, but wait a minute. What's this bond paying? And Vince says 5%. So I do a little due diligence and I check and I say, huh, new bonds are paying 6%. And our bond is good for the next 20 years at 5%. But if I get a brand new one, it pays 6. So I go back to Vince and I said, Vince, you need to discount that $500 1% a year for the next 20 years. Vince looks at me and gets a little sick and throws up.
He says, Dan, sell him your share.
That's right. Exactly right. That's what I'd say. Dan, you sell.
So what happens is interest rates go up, the value of bonds goes down. And so I get very, very worried for people when I see, I'd rather see them sit in cash today than be in bonds, especially if they're very close to retirement and they say, hey, I don't want to take any risk at all. Okay, fine. You could sit in cash. So there's different ways to look at it, but my biggest fear with bonds in an income interest inclining market, which the Fed has already said probably 3 or 4 times this year interest rates will go up. Today, what you started off with, Alan Love, by the way, who's our guest attorney here today, said that the reason the market went kablanka, especially the last few days and today at the morning, was because inflation, they think, starting to rear its ugly head and interest rates are going up, which means it'll slow the economy down, which means businesses make less money, et cetera, et cetera. Now, it's quite premature because when interest rates are only 1.5%, that is not what you call
inflationary.
High. No, that's insignificant. But if we go back to the Carter days, when interest rates were 10 and 12% plus.
That was called stagflation.
And then
right.
Interest rates became 16-17% for house mortgages. It just about stopped the economy. People couldn't afford housing. They couldn't afford new cars. I mean, it was a real, real problem. It did slow the economy down. It did stop inflation. They got their goal, but it caused
a lot of misery.
A lot of misery.
It even came up with the misery index, if you recall, for that time.
There we go.
It was a misery index. No doubt about it. 1-888-221-8990. So that was a good phone call, and we talk about that a bit because it's a subject that a lot of people get confused on. Anyway, back in '04, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, and Joe Martek, financial advisor, said, let's start doing a radio show. And the concept was simple. We all had a bunch of clients. But Dan knew all about insurance for cars and homes and businesses and stuff, and Joe knew all about financing for financial instruments for investment, and Greg knew the law for trusts and wills, but we each had clients that we couldn't answer questions to, so we thought, hey, put three professionals together and help people and answer questions.
Well, we knew enough about the other category to be dangerous, but not enough to really get it done properly.
So then we said, wait a minute, over the years, we had other people that we needed in the group, as in Vince Rosino, CPA, because taxes, well, what a subject that is, constant, and especially now. Not only is Vince a CPA, he's also what's called a forensic CPA, which means the court system recognizes him as an expert witness. And last but not least, he was a college professor.
Absolutely.
In New York.
Not at Columbia.
But not at Columbia. Well, then.
Is that the disclaimer?
That's the disclaimer.
Well, that's kind of an inside joke,
right?
Yes.
Because everybody's heard of Columbia.
Because Joe, when he first made that announcement, said I was teaching at Columbia. So I just made that clear.
You got a promotion.
Yeah. You should take a course there, and then you could see your alumni.
Yeah. I taught at SUNY Old Westbury, which is a very fine institution.
Very fine institution. So is marriage.
As far as institutions go. For Valentine's Day.
I know. So now,
a couple?
Yeah, skip all that subject. So now we're moving right along. And then over a period of time, as things changed, we had new problems that came up. When the recession hit, it created a monster problem with real estate. So we needed to have a person that was an expert in real estate. So Ms. Victoria Lloyd came along, who has only been in the real estate business since 1978 or 80. And for somebody only 30 years old, it's a miracle.
Yes.
But
she looks terrific.
She knows every street in Martin and St. Lucie County and half of the streets, I think, in Jupiter and Tequesta and the other half up in Vero.
And the hardest working realtor.
There is no doubt about it. She's maybe the hardest working person that we've ever met.
Yeah, and we told our listeners that Victoria's husband, Lenny, was in the hospital, had a serious operation. And she was calling me like every day on real estate loans. I was like,
but she's calling from the hospital.
Yes. Say, Victoria, just take it easy.
Well, she says,
what's important. She says, take care of the real estate.
She says, he's fine in here. I'm watching him. I'm sitting right here. I can talk business at the same. That's how she is.
Yes.
She only has two speeds, full blast or asleep.
Yes.
Well, Lenny, by the way, we asked for prayers a couple weeks ago for him also, because Lenny had multiple strokes, and they think a heart attack, and now he's got stents put in,
and a defibrillator.
Wow. So he's been
good to go.
Totally repasted, you know, so.
And he's all charged up now.
That's
All charged up. He keeps that battery cables handy.
Yeah, I talked to him the other day, and he was getting ready for golf.
Good. There you go.
Not yet. Close.
He's getting ready. He's swinging a club in the bedroom. I can see it. I can see him right now. Well, that leads us to Mike Paulus, who was just talking, who is a mortgage broker who works hand in glove with Victoria, because one of the biggest subjects we had going erroneously was information about the lack of mortgage money during the height of the recession. And we all know the old rules came back, which meant you have to prove you can actually make the payment. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
What a deal.
What a concept.
Yeah, what a concept. You want to buy a house? Can you afford it?
Can you afford it?
Well, I'm not sure. Okay, we'll give you the loan anyway. Well, those days are gone. Now you have to physically.
And you know, they should have probably never been here to begin with.
We all know.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that, because I think you can still do no income verification loans responsibly.
Responsibly is a magic word.
If you take a situation where someone, you know, retired and maybe he's from Connecticut and sold their house and now they have millions of dollars in the bank, but that asset hasn't produced income for them yet, but they're still capable of paying.
They still show the ability to make the payment.
Right. So in a situation like that, I think that it's justifiable that you can do what's called a no income verification loan or a limited verification loan.
But the point is, that still shows ability to pay.
Yes.
Because they've got the money. Yep. When you've got no money in the bank and no job.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, now, things are loosening up now in the mortgage business. And, you know, you still do have to verify that you have the ability to repay. But now they're getting a little bit more creative on how you do that. The CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is all part of the Dodd-Frank Act, states that now you have to verify the borrower's ability to repay that money. But they really don't define how. So now there's some creative lenders out there, and we have some of these programs where we can look at your bank statements, whether they be your business bank statements or personal bank statements, and we can determine your cash flow and determine your income that way. So it's kind of a non-traditional way to verify your income.
You know, I wish you'd have been on the PSL show a couple weeks ago, and you might remember this, Alan, when the fella called in, and what did he have to say about the Dodd-Frank Act?
He wasn't happy with it.
No, we all weren't very happy. There's parts that are good, and there's a lot of parts that are bad.
And hopefully this administration is modifying it to get it so that
it's mostly good.
Yeah, so that's a concept, just so businesses can be expanding and employ more people and give people raises, all the good things that's supposed to happen. 1-888-221-8990.
888-221-8990. Mike, is there a magic number in interest rates where you can actually see that the housing market is slowing down because of higher interest rates?
Yeah, we haven't seen it yet, that's for sure, because there's still a huge demand for housing. There's a shortage of inventory.
Especially in Florida.
And that's what's driving up the real estate market right now, because everything that's affordable has been purchased up by investors for rental purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And the rents have been going through the roof.
Right, right.
So, you know, it's actually cheaper now if you have the ability to find a house.
Than it is to rent.
Yeah, your monthly payments will be lower. Now, how long will that be the case with rising interest rates? So that's, you know, I think if you're interested in getting into the real estate market, you better move pretty quick.
Yeah.
If you can find something.
Well, interest rates are not going to go down. We all know that this year. And I should give a little tiny caveat. It's highly unlikely that interest rates will go down this year. Under almost all prognosticators, forecasters, economists, etc., all expect.
Well, the Fed just said that they're going to raise.
See? Yeah. And that's an attorney talking who hates to give categorical statements. But, of course, you're quoting the Fed.
Yes.
Not an attorney.
No.
Okay.
<That's right. laughs>
I'm quoting the government. I'm just hoping it's not fake news.
And also, yeah, you have a combination where the Fed is not buying as many mortgage-backed securities at this point. So you have, it's, the problem's twofold. They're raising the interest rates, and they're not buying the securities, which means that that in itself is going to drive up the interest rates.
So is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac not buying as many? Is that what you're saying?
No. Well, the Fed, during the financial crisis,
they're buying the securities.
They were buying Treasury securities. They were buying mortgage-backed securities.
Right.
And it was probably close to 50-50.
Right.
So they're trying to reduce their balance sheet.
Right,
by
right.
And not through selling the loans off. What they're doing is they're just not purchasing them off. And they're letting them expire on their own.
Which takes time.
Yeah, and yes, it does take time to come off the balance sheet. But if they're not buying it, that means that there are other people have to step up to the plate and buy it. And if they don't, then that's going to drive up the interest rates. And I just heard your explanation about how the yields work, and that's exactly how the mortgage-backed securities work.
There you go.
How about builder's risk? I'm starting to see a lot more builder's risk insurance for people who are building a new home versus buying an existing home. Are you seeing a good bit of that from the finance side?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of new construction. Matter of fact, if you drive through St. Lucie County these days, it's just like on every street corner. And I think that it's managed growth at this point. I don't think people are jumping in and building a lot of spec homes.
For spec, yes.
And the reason why there's a lot of construction going on now is just because there's no inventory out there to buy. So you have to create new inventory. So there. And we've had a pent-up demand for almost 10 years now. For, you know, after 2008, 2009, there's been no new construction.
Right, not much. Right, not much.
And the population has still been growing.
Right.
So, and that's what's driving up the rental market. It's driving up the real estate market. And it's now driving new construction.
Yep. Well, I've seen a lot of new construction with the big major builders, mm-hmm, out west. But now I'm starting to see more small, medium-sized contractors building custom homes, which we didn't see before. We're actually seeing it now. So, I mean, I'm very excited about what's happening on our side of the equation from Palm Beach County to, let's say, Vero. It's just unbelievable growth.
Yeah, you're just not seeing a lot in Martin County because there's not a lot of vacant land that's available.
Not unless you go way west.
Yeah, and the county is really still an anti-growth community, so it takes an act of Congress.
Yeah,
ask
Maggie.
Yeah.
Who's
getting
sued right now?
Right. Well, you know, it's an interesting thing how that equation works, but think about, we've talked about this a little bit, Vince, with tax reform.
Mm-hmm.
New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, all of New England, a lot of them have state income taxes. And now the new tax laws are making it more difficult for these people to keep money, and they've capped the mortgage interest deduction at, what, $750?
It's $10,000 a year, and that includes
taxes.
Yeah, what are you talking about? It's on a $750,000
right.
principal.
And for here locally, that's a magnificent home.
But
not so magnificent up there.
No. You go to Long Island and Massachusetts, Connecticut, you know, that's not
a one better. $2-3 million homes.
A lot of them,
right. So now a lot of these retirees are rethinking living up in those states.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's going to drive a lot of people south and in our direction.
Well, and they're trying to react to it, too, because just yesterday, the governor up there was proposing listen to this, a payroll tax on employers up there to
on
help, that somehow is going to filter its way back to the consumers.
When it's an interesting thing is, we're only going to tax the business. Uh-huh. So you and I make widgets that cost $1 a piece, and we sell them for $1.50, but they're going to raise our tax to $1.25. Well, we got to sell it then for $1.75.
Mm-hmm.
The consumer ends up paying every time.
Of course.
And every time they... government tries to figure out they're going to get money out of an employer, it's a misnomer.
Well, you know, they also did a freeze, you know. The people up in New York, anyway, they're frozen at whatever the federal law was prior to the new tax law. So they're all they're under the old tax law for New York State taxes.
New York State taxes.
The thing I've seen on the New York commercials that always amused me was they have all these special programs for new business.
Uh-huh.
Come in, no tax, no this. But all the ones that have been there for decades, forget about them. They don't get anything.
That's right. Exactly.
That's what I can't
Until
stand.
They start moving out.
Yes, yes. So,
well, you know, nothing stays the same in the whole world. It's going to, everything's subject to change. We have no real knowledge about what's going to happen to Florida in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, it's growing like crazy. Third most populated state now. We'll probably end up second.
Yep. And I'll tell you, I've been talking to a lot of people out in the Okeechobee area and Indiantown area.
Right.
those areas are set to explode. So if you're looking for a deal on real estate, that's a good place to live.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Yeah.
And the town's not as desolate as people think. There's a lot of stuff going on out.
No, Okeechobee. Okay,
well, if you remember back in the Heights, 2005 and 6, they were supposed to be building like 2,000 home communities out there.
In Indian Town.
In Indian Town.
They never could get them off.
That kind of just got squashed when the market took a dump.
Well, Mike and I have a personal problem with that.
What's
that? It's a long ways from the ocean.
You burn a lot of fuel.
But and we got to go through the privacy. And we have to go through the locks and then, you know, et cetera.
You'd be fishing the lake.
Fishing.
That's right. You can't eat any of that stuff.
Yeah, you can.
They eat. I guess you can eat it, but you want to eat it.
That's a misnomer, too, about the pollution, because around the outside of the lake where all the weeds and stuff are, that water
filters pretty good.
Very, very good. Yeah, that's good water.
I pre-qualified one of our listeners, as a matter of fact, and they were looking at some property out in Okeechobee, and there's new construction going out there for $180,000, three-bedroom, two-bath homes with two-car garage. So there's some deals out there.
Yeah. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So the new tax forms, or not forms, but the payroll deductions, et cetera, for payroll. They're all
The withholding tables are out. They were out in January.
I got mine.
And so the employer should have already filtered that in.
So did your girls get a raise?
Pretty much, yeah. Nothing to... go buy a new car with, but it's more money than they had in their pocket.
Now did you get a raise?
No.
No.
But I'll tell you what. Tell you what, though, the government is really behind in the new changes. Even the old changes in October, President Trump signed the law that said you could take your casualty losses as an above-the-line deduction. Even if you didn't itemize your deductions, you could take it as an adjustment to gross income. Well, guess what? The IRS hasn't yet approved that code, so
be careful.
The software company, I called them. I said, "Here's the law. Says you can take it, but there's no place to put it on." You could take it at 16, they told me, but they haven't approved the 17 code yet. Oh, wait a minute! The hurricane happened in 17.
Now I got to go refile everybody all the way back.
16 and get my money.
You got to be careful with that. I mean, many, many decades ago, my dad had these enormous trees on our property, and would you know it, one of them caught on fire. So insurance didn't pay for it. They wrote it off as the cost to get a new tree the same size brought in.
Yeah, that's not the way it works.
And he had to end up giving most of it back.
That's right. That's not the way it works.
So much for that. Your dad tried. You got to give him credit.
I give the old man credit. He was creative.
1-888-221-8990. So we have Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, sitting here. Any questions to do with financing, qualifying for mortgages? And let me toot Mike's horn again. I said it on the morning show. I can't imagine why anybody in their right mind would walk into a bank and apply for a mortgage loan when in 15 minutes they can talk to you on the phone. It isn't going to cost them a dime more and probably will cost them less. And in 15 minutes, you'll let them know where they stand, where it might take 2 weeks to find out where you stand if you walk into a bank.
Well, yeah. I got a real live example. Excuse me. In fact, you probably heard from her by now because I had a client walk in today. It's exactly what she told me. She said she wants to buy a condo right here in Stewart. The banker hasn't called her back yet. It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I said, well, I have somebody for you. So, Mike, you should be getting a call from this client.
Good. Thank you.
Because I said, Mike will talk to you on the phone. You'll get an answer pretty quick.
You can review their credit history, and you can see if there are things that perhaps they could straighten up pretty easily. Maybe that would affect them getting a better deal.
Yeah. Credit is a hard thing to fix in a short term. But there are things, at least we can, run the credit report and point you in the right direction.
I had an interesting one, a client of mine that you may or may not remember, but she's a retired banker.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, selling her house, she's going to go buy a new house. And she says, I'm going to need to get a loan. I says, well, you should call Mike. She goes, oh, no, I'm a banker. I know what to do. Don't worry. So she went and applied at her bank, and 2 weeks later, they turned her down. So she called me up. Joe, do you have that guy Mike's phone number? I'll finish the story after this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I actually have a few questions related to mortgage for a first-time home buyer.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And so as far as qualifying for a first-time mortgage. Does student loans in any way negatively impact or affect the ability to obtain a mortgage for a first-time homebuyer?
Well, and any debt can interfere with your ability to qualify. What happens with student loans, though, is there's so many different types of repayment plans. There's payment plans that are factored by the amount of income. The payments are based on your income. And they might not fully amortize the student loan. So the problem is that as a mortgage lender, well, you know, if your income changes down the road, your payment, your student loan payment may change, and that could affect your ability to repay that mortgage. So what we have to do is, even if it's in a deferred state or in a reduced payment state, then we have to calculate a percentage of your overall balance into the debt ratio. So now, if you're not paying those student loans, and you should be, and it's going into a collection situation, that could really significantly affect your ability to qualify, because most of those are student or government-backed loans. And
Right. No, it hasn't reached that point.
Yeah. And, well, there are a lot of people who can't, because I just see so much student debt out there with people coming out of college and owing hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I can't possibly see how they're ever going to repay it back. And there's going to be some probably forgiveness program coming out to alleviate this problem. But to get back to your situation, if you're in a deferred payment situation or a reduced payment situation because it's an income-based repayment plan, then we're going to use a percentage of the overall balance to qualify you.
Okay. And two more really quick questions. I was told by a lender, I don't know how true this is, not a lender, I'm sorry, a realtor, that condos no longer meet qualifications for being able to obtain a first-time an FHA loan.
No, that's not
true. I've never heard of that, but...
Well, I know what she's trying to say. See, FHA has a formal condo approval program. The condo has to meet all of their guidelines and be approved directly through FHA. And it's a very complicated, difficult process, and it's a costly process because you have, I mean, someone's got to drop what they're doing and get all this documentation. It's a federal government, so you have to have some kind of understanding how much documentation is required for this. So most condo associations really don't see the benefit of being FHA approved, so very few of them go through the process. If you Google FHA approved condos, and you can get onto everyone has access to this. You can go on and you can actually put in the area that you're looking for, and it'll come up with all the FHA approved condos. There's not many.
Well, you know,
give you each community that is approved, Mike, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you can see which condo community is FHA approved and which are not. It'll give you if they've been expired or not, but now, conventional financing is also difficult, but not nearly as complicated as FHA. So you might want to look at is if the condo you're interested in is not FHA approved, consider going through some of the first-time homebuyer programs that conventional financing has, because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac has 3% down programs, which are spectacular. They're great programs. You can finance a lot of those condos with those programs.
Right. I was doing a little bit of research and trying to compare the conventional, where I know there's a 20%, and then you avoid the PMI and the FHA, and trying to do some like comparison down the road. And it seems to me that the conventional is a little bit more attractive in terms of like the long-term amount that would be paid out. I don't know.
Because you're talking about the possibility of removing the mortgage insurance. FHA, the mortgage insurance is on there for life. It's on there for the term of the loan. You cannot get rid of that. Where in conventional financing, someday, when you have enough equity built up in the property, you can have that mortgage insurance removed.
Right.
Thank you so much. The best thing to do, if you agree, Mike can give you a call and you guys can talk separately, and he can counsel you based on your income and your debt ratios and your credit, and tell you within 15 minutes, yay, nay, or what you might need to do in order to become positive.
Okay, that would be great.
Is there a question? Now, you left your name and number with Pastor Tom, correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. Is there a best time to call you? Are you working lady or what?
If it's during the week, any time after 5:30.
Okay, that should work. Anyway, we'll make a note on it, and he'll answer your questions and see if he can help you.
Thank you so much. God bless you all.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
You know, Mike, there's another, something else talking about the FHA loans and the communities. They also look at the percentage of rentals in the communities in order to make them qualified. For example, one of the communities I was involved with, if they had over 30% rental units
inside one community,
the FHA frowned on it. They don't like the rental percentage of the community.
FHA keeps changing their requirements. It used to be that all the condos had to go through FHA approval like they do now. Then they got more like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, where the individual lenders could make the determination whether they qualify or not. Now it went back, you know, to the hard rule where FHA had to approve them. So, there's a whole list of criteria that the condo has to meet. But I tell you that the biggest issue that FHA has, they're looking at discrimination issues. Huh. And they feel like that most condos have a guideline that says that they have the condo association has the first right of refusal. That means if they don't like the person coming in, they can buy the unit instead of having the seller sell it. Now, does that happen?
Hardly ever. Right.
Because the condo associations,
they don't have
they're not into realty business anyway.
That's just one of the rules.
But, you know, they want to reserve the ability to buy that because, you know, maybe a criminal might be moving. I don't know. There's everybody has their own reasons for it, but FHA views that as a discrimination practice, and therefore, it becomes very difficult to finance condos with those guidelines in their bylaws.
But conventional financing, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, is available though, right?
No,
amount of down payment, basically.
I tell you also too, the USDA program. We've talked a lot about that.
Does that work for condos too?
That follows the conventional rule, where it means that we can do 100% financing in condos if it meets Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac criteria.
Now, just in case this young lady doesn't want a condo necessarily, of course, normally the condo is going to be a little less expensive than a freestanding house because, you know, replacement cost.
Yeah, but there's, you know, condo-like properties like planned unit developments, zero lot line houses, townhouse communities.
They're
all considered planned unit developments.
Right.
There's no requirements on those.
There you go.
Does it have to be in a certain geographical area depending on the county, Mike?
For the USDA.
For the USDA, yes.
Correct. That has to be in what is considered a rural community. All of Martin County is considered a rural community, so that's a whole area that would qualify for USDA financing. There are parts of St. Lucie County and very small parts of Palm Beach County that qualify, but they are in areas that are truly farm areas.
There you go.
The finding a house in those areas are very difficult. But all of Martin County's qualifies.
Now, what happens if you're out in Okeechobee or Indian Town?
Those areas qualify for USDA financing. You get 100% financing.
Yeah. Isn't there income limitations on that, Mike?
Yeah, and it's pretty liberal right now. They just recently raised it. I haven't committed it to memory, but it's around $75,000 for a household up to four people.
Gross income.
Right, and if it's household over four people, it's up to $95,000.
So a husband and wife, two children, making $25,000-$35,000 each.
Well, the income cap is really odd in this scenario because it goes by any income producing person in the house, whether they're on the mortgage or not. So if you have an 18-year-old kid working, still living at home, that's counted in the cap, but not counted in qualifying for the loan.
So what you're saying, kick that kid out on the street when he turns 18.
Visit grandma.
Mike, stay with grandma, right?
What's the relationship between credit score and income? Say somebody has a very low credit score because of past history, but yet they've got a job now where they're making significant income.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be a positive or negative, the credit score?
Well, the credit score, if you're if you're below 700 on your credit score, you might want to look at FHA financing, because you're going to get better terms on a FHA loan. Conventional financing, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, they'll go down to 620 on a credit score. You're not going to get it approved under 620. FHA doesn't formally have a minimum credit score. So you can go down to 500. Now,
but you still have to prove you can pay.
It's hard to get a loan approved under 580.
So
what we do is, if it's pretty easy to get FHA financing if your score is above 600. From 580 to 600, you know, you're going to have some good compensating factors. You have to have some money in the bank, maybe a good job history, maybe really low debt ratios because your income is good. Under 580, they're really looking for a specific borrower type. They're looking for a borrower that had a problem in the past, maybe a death of a wage earner, maybe, you know, being laid off on a job, a disability. Now you're back on track.
How long does bankruptcy affect people normally today?
It depends on what type of financing you get. The most attractive financing available today, if you had a recent bankruptcy, is probably FHA, but even then you have a waiting period. Conventional has a waiting period too, but it's a little longer.
What are the waiting periods, give or take?
You know, you're probably looking at 3 years. I'm going by memory here because I have a cheat sheet at my office.
You're right.
But it's like 3 years for FHA, if I remember correctly. It's 4 years for conventional financing. And then there's different waiting periods for foreclosures and short sales.
Right.
When you're looking at you're analyzing someone's financial situation and what they're qualified for, you have to look at all the pieces. It's like putting a jigsaw puzzle together.
There you go.
And that's really kind of what I enjoy in this business. I like seeing what everyone's scenario and seeing, okay, you're not going to fit in the FHA mold, but you might meet the Fannie Mae mold.
If I took a 15-year note versus a 30-year note, would they smile on me a little bit more as far as giving me the mortgage maybe?
Yeah, as long as you qualify for the higher payments.
Right.
I can tell you this, that the agencies, Fannie, Freddie, they really like borrowers who take 15-year loans. I'll give you an example. If you have a credit score under 700 with conventional financing, say it's 650, you're going to pay a pretty big premium on the interest rate on a 30-year loan. But if you take a 15-year loan, they don't charge those premiums.
We say pretty big premium. So let's say the going rate's 4% if you're really good credit, 750 score, let's say.
Yeah, well, now it's closer to almost 5.
Okay, I'll say 5. So now, what would the premium be for somebody down in that lower range?
If you're under 700, if you're going for a conventional loan,
right,
they may charge you a point and a half.
Okay.
Not on the interest rate, but on the
On the 30-year note side.
But they don't charge that same premium a 15-year.
Gotcha.
And really, look how much faster you get equity in your home.
I'm a huge fan of a 15-year.
Still have to qualify income ratio and debt, et cetera.
And you know, most people don't understand, like, if you take a 15-year mortgage versus a 30-year mortgage, the payment on a 15-year is probably only about maybe 30-35% higher.
Maybe not even that much.
Yeah, it's probably closer to 30-35-30%.
Yeah,
it's definitely not double.
No,
most people will say, okay, you're cutting down the term in half, the payment must be double, and it doesn't work that way. For a little bit of tightening the belt, you can save hundreds of thousands of dollars in the long term.
And look how many people leave after that. What's the old 7-year itch rule?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 7 years into a 15-year note, you've got some substantial equity.
Yeah.
7 years into a 30-year note, you're just scratching it.
Oddly enough, people, and I'm kind of a geek. I look at all these statistics because I think it's pretty interesting trying to figure out why these things occur. But people stay in a mortgage longer on a 15-year than they do on a 30-year.
Really?
Yeah, and because I think they see the light at the end of the tunnel after 7 years. You could say, okay, I've been in this house for 7 years. I have, you know, some
I'm halfway there.
Do I really want to start over again? And I think
no refinancing, no buying another house, et cetera. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, so, hey, But still, it's the same old rule. Every one of us were raised, pay for your house, pay for your house, pay for your house. I mean, that's the rule we were beat into our
heads. How about the people that say, I'll take the 30-year, but I'll pay on the 15-year schedule, but they don't ever do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a rare occasion.
Interesting statistics on that, too, because for the first couple of years, there's a large percentage of people that do that. But after that, other things start getting important.
It's called life. Life gets in the way.
Maybe a new car is in the works. Right. Maybe a vacation is needed. But people tend to, you're right, people tend to fall off doing that.
1-888-221-8990. We've got Vince Rizzino, CPA, Mike Polis, mortgage broker, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Joe Martek, financial advisor. Special guest star, we're trying to keep him awake, Alan Love, attorney, retired attorney. I call him our messy Jew, for those of you that understand. He's, in his phraseology, it's a messianic Jew, which I kind of like messy Jew better, you know.
You like to shorten things.
I like to shorten them up a little bit, but those of you that know that Alan, he looks like a rabbi, walks like a rabbi, talks like a rabbi, and a rabbi in Judaism means you're a teacher.
That's correct.
But he then became a Christian how many years ago now?
That was in 2010.
There you go.
Wow.
So he's a regular guest and a contributor, and he's a retired attorney from the great state of Wisconsin, prosecuting attorney, and we all have a good time together with Alan as a regular guest. But I think we have to do something again. Pastor Tom just came in and said, well, we may have a caller that may interrupt this, but before this show's over, Pastor Dave, there's numerous fatalities in the Parkland school shooting. The shooter is in custody, so everybody sitting here is a great believer in the power of prayer, and we have many, many people we have to pray for. It's a sign of the times. Lord, save us. I mean, I don't know what we can say. There's nothing we can say except we can just beg for our Lord to help these people and to help even the shooter. I mean, this is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. So I guess I'm going to ask you, Pastor Dave, right now, if you would lead us in prayer. We're going to give you a mic, and then you can lead us in prayer again, and we'll...
Yeah, that's... I'll try to be as brief. It's hard for a seminary trained clergy to be brief.
Don't we understand?
About a minute.
I mean, I've heard you. You're pretty. Right. You know, you can kind of go.
Yeah, but I.
However, I understand our problem. This is a serious situation.
This is a serious, and Lord, we just again come to you. We are just grieving ourselves, and we know that this incident, which occurred in Parkland, Florida, that the has rippled out already throughout the confines of our nation, that whenever something like this happens, the grieving just reaches every corner of the hearts of people who care. And so we know as we reach out in prayer and seek your blessing for the families in Parkland and the friends of those who have come to the end of their life today, and we pray for the parents. We pray for the teachers. We pray for everyone in that community who are at a loss, who are at chaos in their spirits, who are angry and anxious. And Lord, we understand. We just hold them all up to you. You are the God who gives to your children what they need, whatever that may be. And right now, those people need your blessing. They need your compassion. They need your love, your presence, to hold them to your heart, Father, not just today, but in the days to come. And we just pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that everyone who suffers will be held in that compassionate embrace. And for those who have passed today because of this horrible tragedy, to receive them into your warm and loving arms. For it is again and always in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, it's just never understanding. You can't understand situations like this happening, but you know, it is what it is. Well, we're running down close to the end here. Let me just say again that we've got a group of local professionals when we add up the experience, there's around 200 years of combined experience, and that's not even including Alan Love, retired attorney. If we add him, that's another 100 years, I think, right?
Right, but Joe, I just want to say something as a former prosecutor. You know, being in a district attorney's office, you dealt with tragedy. You saw tragedy. You saw people who intentionally took other people's lives, but the important thing to remember is that out of tragedy can come better things, that we've got to stay positive in life. We've got to look at our problems and be positive that there's a way of solving them. You know, the blame game is a lot easier than the problem solving.
Right.
And that's what's important, to realize that God is within us and God is on our shoulders. And at times like this, it is far better to turn to God and to ask for God's guidance than to try and analyze things on the spur of the moment or let your emotions run away with you. And that's the big thing that I saw in the DA's office, that sure, the tragedy happened, but after that, people got to work and solved problems and got back on the path of righteousness and goodness. And that's really what we're all about. Otherwise, what's the point?
1-888-221-8990. We're winding down. We have Greg Fasula, attorney, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Vince Rosino, CPA, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Joe Martek, financial advisor, local professionals that have all been here a long time, hope to die here just not soon, pun intended, and it's wrong one right now. But the bottom line is, folks, if we can help in any way and answer questions, that's what we're here to do.
Well, Joe, here's the thing, you know, if you turn these types of problems over to God, don't internalize them any more than you possibly can, it makes it so much easier. In other words, I turned those problems over to God. When I was younger, I internalized them so bad it used to eat me up. So that's the hard thing, especially for the parents.
Yeah.
We're going to be going through this.
Yeah.
It's just going to be heart-wrenching for them. But I believe with prayer and intervention, they'll get through this.
1-888-221-8990. Again, you can call the radio station anytime. Pastor Dave, Pastor Tom, Karen, they'll take your name and number, and we'll get back to you. We'll help you any way we can. How much time do we have, Dave?
A little over one minute.
So we have any words of wisdom there, Vince Rosino?
Words of wisdom?
Okay, never mind.
Stay close to God.
Amen. I tell you what, it's hard to keep an upbeat spirit when you go through tragedies like this. And but understand that, hey, we all believe in the power of prayer, and we know what's been able to happen, and we've got to pray for these people and the victims, even the shooter. I mean, this got to be a crazy person. There's just no way to put logic into anything like this. 1-888-221-8990. Again, Vince Rosino, Mike Paulus, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Vince Rosino, Joe Martek, Dan Warren. Do we miss anybody?
I think we're all here.
I think we're all here. What do you think? How much time we got now, Chief?
I don't believe that means Greg Fasula.
Hey, and Greg Fasula, attorney. I mean, you know, we got Alan Love, attorney, but you're our passive attorney rather than our active one.
Let me just say to the listeners of WCNO, we've been down this path before, and you know that God is with us, and we thank our listeners for being with us, especially at this time.
Absolutely. Amen.
All right, folks, I think we're about run to the end of it. We want to thank you again for listening, and please pray for the victims of this Parkland fatalities.
Never been a sinner, I never sinned.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program.